Okay, today's daf is Shabbos, daf Lamed Aleph in Parakira, and today we go from the first half relating to Inyani Bishul to the second half relating to Inyani Muksa. We mentioned that this parak splits in the middle of topics. So we are in the middle of Lamed Alma Beis, where we just had a machlokas amoroim between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, whether am I allowed to put a lot of cold water into a kli rishon that came off the fire, if my goal is eventually just to make it lukewarm. I'm not cooking the cold water that I'm putting in, I just want to make it lukewarm. So Rav says that's mutter, and Rabbi Yochanan says that is usser. So now the Gemara says the brisa, right in the middle of Laman of a base. Tani, notes in Chaim Lotok Tzonein, Avalot Tzonein, Lotok Chamin, Kedivre Beishamai. Beishamai says that I'm allowed to pour hot water into cold, but not cold into hot. This is the sugya, Mesachas Pesachim, known as Tata'a Gvar or Ila'a Gvar. If you pour something in, so which has the more power, so to speak? What's poured in or what's poured onto? So Beis Shammai says, Tata Agvar. What's on the bottom is the one that rules. And therefore, if you pour cold into hot, that's going to heat the cold water and that's going to be a problem. Beis Shammai Omrim, no, either way is okay. It's mutter either way. Why? When you are talking, Bamedra Amurim, because when you're talking about a klisheni, so that's where we say either way is okay. Aval, which we'll get to pouring into a klisheni, a little bit later today. Aval ba'ambati, but if you have a huge bathtub, which we'll call a kli rishon, a big hot, so then, chaman l'totsoni mutter, so then if you're pouring hot into cold, so then that's mutter, because again, there's no kli rishon on the fire that you're dealing with. V'tzonon to chaman aser, but that would be into a kli rishon, and that would be aser. Rabbi Shimon will add in ben menasya matir. Shimon Menasya would say, if you're pouring in so much cold water into the kli rishon that it's going to end up being cool, lukewarm, that's mutter. So therefore, you see, Shimon Menasya says mutter. So Asya, so now the Gemara says, Asya de Rav, Shimon Menasya. So Rav, we have Machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav falls like Shimon Menasya, meaning if you have a kli rishon, they took off the fire, boiling hot, but you're pouring in at once a lot of cold water and it's going to end up being lukewarm, that's okay. That's mutter. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Rabbi Yochanan who says that's aser, holds like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri who says there's an iser in a similar case. Tani, and this we already had earlier. Tani, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri omer, v'malihu adam chavish al mayim, v'nosta kedegan amadura, I'm allowed to put a barrel of water next to a heat source, next to a flame. Lo bishvil shetecham, ela bishvil shetavik sinasa. Not so that it gets hot, but just to take out the chill, right, to make it lukewarm. That's where you could put it next to. Yored adam v'tovel b'tzonein v'olum eschame k'negan madura. I could go into a mikvah, I say in the days when you could be tovel on Shabbos, and come out and warm myself, the drips on my body, next to a heat source, divrei Rabbi Meir. That's what Rabbi Meir says, both of those cases are mutter. V'chachamim osur, mecham say usur. It's usur to pee cold water next to a heat source. It's usur to warm yourself next to a fire. Why? Yos amar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir makes sense. Why would that be usur? Sounds like that should be mutter. My time in Rabbana, why do the Rabbanan say usur? And this is going to be the parallel isur for Rabbi Yochanan. Why would the Rabbanan say usur in this case? Why is it usur to put a bottle of water next to a heat source if you're only going to leave it there enough to be warm and not hot? Because that's what we had earlier. Mutter lahav shebamakam shahayad sholetes. You are allowed to make water lukewarm in a place where your yad is sholetes, meaning it's not so hot. But you're not allowed to put it in a place where your hand doesn't have control, meaning it's yad sholetes, and your hand would have to be put away. So the Gemara is comparing. Just like in this brisa, the Rabbanan explain that you're not allowed to put a bottle of water in a place where it could get boiling hot. Oh, I'm only going to put it there for half an hour. I'm going to remove it before it gets boiling hot. You're not allowed to do that. And it's a Rabbanan, because you might come. So too, we're comparing that to Rabbi Yochanan. You're not allowed to pour a lot of cold water into a kli rishon with hot water, even though in this situation, it's not going to be a problem, because maybe you'll come to pour lesson, and therefore it would become boiling hot. So those are the two isurim that we put together. Again, putting water next to a place where it can get yasoledes, you can't do that. And pouring a lot of hot water, a cold water into a kli rishon off the fire, because again, you might pour in less than that. Both cases, Rabbi Yochanan parallels, that would be us. And we had that before earlier. The Shulchan Aruch does paskin, right? We paskin l'chumra in this second case. one is not allowed to put something in a place, if it's subject to bishul, you can't put it in a place where you, it could become mevushal if you would leave it there. Al smach that you're going to remove it before it gets cooked. That is not allowed. You might come to forget. V'afilus, now the Gemara continues. V'afilus, makam she'en yad sholeta sad heichan, and even a place where your hand does not have control. Interesting, the language in the Bavli is yad soledes. Will your hand jump back? Yad sholet, this is the opposite, where your hand has control. So how hot? Ad heichan, so Rabbi Yudim, Rabbi Pazi, Rabbi Simon, b'shem Rabbi Yosef b'chanina, ad she'en nosi yad l'socha, v'hi nechves. As we said, as it is that your hand would get burned, and that's what Yatzola this is. Period. There is a Chaye Adam. The Chaye Adam writes that even if you hold that we mentioned yesterday, a klisheni enam avashel, we'll get more about klisheni in a minute, Beit Hashem, but even if you say klisheni is not mavashel, if it's yad nichves bo, it would be mavashel. He comes up with a new category. If it's super, super boiling, we assume there's yad sholetes bo, or ein yad sholetes bo. But he comes with a yad nichves bo, is a new category that he comes up with, and many other poskim say there's no such category in Hilchos Shabbos. We don't have it in Chazal. Okay, period. Says the Gemara, one line. Before, right, we've been talking about the difference. This Mishnah, we're talking about the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, right? The Mecham is a Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni. We mentioned one Deya, Tosfos and Shabbos Daf Mem, the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. So we're going to have other differences the Gemara is going to quote here. Interesting, the Tosfos does not quote this Yerushalmi. Says the Gemara, though, first, one line, Hakol Modim, everyone admits. Who's the Hakol? So it's the Hakol based on the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah that we're going to have in a couple of minutes, the Tanakhama holds that you're allowed to put spices into a Kli Sheni, but you can't put spices into a Kli Rishon. And Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to put anything in unless it has vinegar or fish brine, which causes things to get hot. It's not clear, is Rabbi Yehuda being machmir or mekel? Is Rabbi Yehuda saying, and even in a Kli Sheni, I'm going to limit the heter? Or is he saying, and even in a Kli Rishon, I'm going to allow it? So that's not clear. So the Gemara here says, the Rabbi Yehuda there is lekula. Hakol modeh b'Kli Sheni shehu mutter. Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's everything's mutter to Kli Sheni. Meaning, when Rabbi Yehuda says in the next Mishnah that everything's mutter, except if there is fish brine or vinegar in there, he means even in a Kli Rishon that's taken off the fire. Because Rabbi Yehuda must hold that only mamish on the fire is bishul. And if it's off the fire, it's not going to be subject to bishul. Okay, so that's that one line. So now the Gemara says, ma bein Kli Rishon, ma bein Kli Sheni. What's the difference between the Kli Rishon and the Kli Sheni? We had this earlier in Maseches Maaseres, I think also, which is different than what the Bavli has. Bavli doesn't really talk about the difference between the Kli Rishon and the Kli Sheni. But here, it seems, two deis. Rabbi Yossi, Amar Rabbi Yossi, kan ayat sholetes, kan in ayat sholetes. Rabbi Yossi's first deya, it depends on temperature. A Kli Rishon is hotter. And that's why Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni is cooler. So the Gemara is going to say, but that's not true. Because we have plenty of Kli Shenis are very hot. And a Kli Sheni can even be hotter than a Kli Rishon. So, Rabbi Yona is a different answer. Kan v'kan ein ayat sholetes. Right? Both Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni, they're both boiling hot. But, the Gemara assumes here that once it's off the fire, it's in the world of Durabanan. And the question is, would we make an Issa Durabanan? Ela asu harchek l'Kli Rishon, v'lo asu harchek l'Kli Sheni. We make a harchaka by a Kli Rishon off the fire, because that could get mixed up with a Kli Rishon on the fire. But we didn't make a harchaka for Kli Sheni. Again, these are answers that are not the ones that Tosfos gives. In Shabbos Daf Mem, where he's filled with Defanos Makaros. But there's different answers. Either it goes by temperature, that was the first answer. Or the second answer is no, it's all Drabanan. So it depends what's closer. What's closer to the din. So Rabbi Mana says, Hahein Pincha De'urza Messiah La'aba. That bowl of rice supports my father. Who's his father? Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Mana's father is Rabbi Yona, who gave the second answer. Right? I think my father's right. Rabbi Yona. Why? What did Rabbi Yona say? They're both boiling hot. That's not the difference. Right? So here, he said, look, you have a bunch of rice, meaning dover gush. If you have a solid item in a Kli Sheni, it's just as hot as the Kli Rishon, and yet it's called a Kli Sheni. says Rabbi Mana. So you see, this brisa, this fact supports my father, Rabbi Yona. Or Hain Pincha de Grisa, that bowl of beans. Messiah Lila Abba. Why? It supports my father. Da'at mefani le minatar latar, you can move it from place to place, from bowl to bowl, va'ad kadonu, wasech, and it's still boiling. Right? The whole idea of cooling down is by a liquid. But if it's boiling hot, you see, and it's still, the Gemara assumes, and it's still called a klisheni. So that shows you it's not totally on temperature. So against Rabbi Yossi, like Rabbi Yona, Rabbi Mana's father. This Gemara, simple pshat of this Gemara, this Yerushalmi, is that even by a davar gush, by a solid item, if it's in a klisheni, so then it has the coolness of a klisheni. And that is the pashup shot of the Rama. The Rama in Yeredeya, in Simen Sadi Dalid, says that a piece of meat on a plate is going to be a klisheni. It's against the Yamshel Shlomo. The Yamshel Shlomo, the Shach quotes the Marshal. The Shach here in Yeredeya, in Kufhei, Simon Kufay Sivches quotes the Yamshel Shlomo, who says, well, remember the Svar of Tosfos? The Yamshel Shlomo doesn't say this. This is the Shach explaining the Yamshel Shlomo. The Yamshel Shlomo just says, the whole chiluk of Klibishin and Klisheni is only by Davar Nozel, by a liquid, or by something that spreads. But if you have a piece of meat, if you have a potato, a boiling hot potato, does that matter whether it's in a Klibishin or a Klisheni? It's just as hot. It retains its heat. It's not being, and the Shach adds, it's not being cooled off. Remember Tosfos as Svara? Defunos makaros. The walls cool it. The walls aren't cooling it when it comes to a davar gush. And therefore, a davar gush on a klisheni says the marshal has the status of a kli rishon. Which would very, let's say you have thick chalant, not liquid chalant. Thick chalant. You have a glob of chalant that went onto your plate. It's boiling, boiling hot. If it's not boiling, boiling hot, nothing to talk about. But what if it's boiling, boiling hot and you put it down right next to the coleslaw and the salad? That could be an issue, according to the Marshal, because the coleslaw was never cooked. You need a mechitza. You need a mechitza between the chalant and the coleslaw. You could put a piece of kugel there, because the kugel is already cooked. If the kugel touches, but a kugel is not as hot, it's not going to boil and cook the coleslaw, and it can be next to the chalant. You gotta have good neighbors. You gotta have good neighbors on your plate. But that's the Shach, the chumra of the Marshal, quoted in the Shach, known as Davar Gush. We're getting into all of the sources of heat here. Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, last year we spoke about ladles. Here we're talking about Davar Gush. V'das Marshal be'isr v'heter shalo u'besifro perak al basar simenayin aleph to be Davar Gush kagon chatichas basar o dag o orez o duchen. Interesting. He says even a thing of rice. You might have thought that spreads, but he calls rice a Davar Gush. De ma'arin cham in akadera. If you pour it hot from a pot imayad soledes bo dino la olam kikli rishon. That's the chumra of the Shach and the chumra of the Marshal. The ein biyadei lachria. And says the Shach, I'm not sure, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this Chumra. Rak nearly, but since Tosfos says that the Hosvar is Fanas Bakaros, Imkain, Davar Gush Nami, Kivin the Mikri Yavish, Lo Shayach Bo Defanos. Right? There's no Heter of Defanos. And then he quotes others that agree to this too. So this is the Ramah versus the Shach, the Marshal. But again, the Pashas of Argamari here is like the Ramah, and that's against the Marshal. Okay. Says the next Mishnah. Says in the Mishnah, halacha hey, ha'ilves vakadera, she'ehevir mu'usachin. Again, a pot that you took off the fire, boiling hot. So kli rishon that you moved off the fire. Lo yitin latocha tavlin, you can't put spices in it. Because that is going to cook the spices, assuming the spices were not cooked yet. Can't put spices in it, as the carbonator says, kli rishon, kozman she'roseach mevashel. As long as it's boiling hot, it's going to cook. But you can put the spices into a kli sheni, into a bowl or another type of container. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Lakalu Nosin. Rabbi Yehuda says you can do whatever you want. And we said before, even in a kli rishon. Except for something that has vinegar or fish brine, because that causes things to cook, even if it's in a kli sheni, if it's in a kli rishon. So we've been talking about kli rishon and kli sheni. So now we have the shaila of irui. What if I'm pouring from a kli rishon to a kli sheni? So does that have the status of a kli rishon because it came from a kli rishon? And let's say I put tea leaves, a tea bag. Let's assume it's cooking by a tea bag. I'm going to pour boiling hot water onto the tea bag. So it's not in the kli rishon, but it didn't hit the kli sheni yet. It's hitting the tea before it hits the walls of the kli sheni. So is irui ke kli rishon, is irui ke kli sheni? Big Shaila, major machlokas in the Rishonim and in the Gemara here. So the Gemara says, and Tosfos in Shabbos Membeis or so quotes this Yerushalmi. Rabbi Yona Amar Asur V'Iri K'Kli Rishonu. Rabbi Yona says Irui is like a Kli Rishon. meaning until it gets to the Tefanos Makaros, like Tosfos says, it's not going to be a klisheni. And therefore, if you pour boiling water onto something, it's like you're doing it into a kli. It's like a kli rishon. Chelad Rabbi Yona Minada, and Rabbi Yona has a support from the Mishnah in Zvachim. The Mishnah in Zvachim talks about, as we know, a karban after the time of eating becomes nosar, and therefore you have to burn it, and it becomes treif. So there's a special, there's a whole perek, Dam Chatos, in Mesechus Zvachim that talks about how you kasher metal, and if it's cheres, it just has to be broken and smashed because the blia can't come out. So the language of the Mishnah is, Echad Shebishabo, Vechad Sheiru Lesocha Roseach, whether you cooked a karban in it or you poured a karban into it. So you see from there, Irui has the status of Kli Rishon. Amar Rabbi Yossi argues, with Rabbi Yonah. Remember, Rabbi Yonah is the father of Ramana. We just had him. So Amar Rabbi Yossi, no! Who says that's a raya? That Mishnah in Zvachim. Taman Kli Cheres Boleya. That's talking about Kli Cheres. That's not talking about all Kalim. Tavlin in Mespashlim. Over there, does Irui cook in a Kli Cheres? Yeah, it's Boleya. It's absorbed into a Kli Cheres. Is it Mevashel for Hilcha Shabbos? No. You don't have to say that. So you could say Rabbi Yossi holds that Irui is Kli Sheni. Irui is Kli Sheni. Rabbi Yona Kli Rishon, Rabbi Yossi Kli Sheni. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Hey, Rabbi Yossi Barbun. One second. Vatani Apakli the Choshes Kane. What the Brisa says over there, by the Kachim context, it applies even to metal Kalim. Ischal Amera Kli Nechoshes Boleya. Can you say a Kli Nechoshes is more Boleya than others? No. So it's not just talking about Kli Cheres there. That's wrong, says the Rabbi Yossi Barbun. And therefore, we're back to the Raya. The Mishnah Zvachim is a Raya. Iru is Kli Rishon. So this is a major machlokas in the Gemara, and it's a machlokas in the Rishonim. Right? Tosfos here. Shabbos, Membeis. Tosfos has three opinions. How could there be three opinions? Iru is Kli Rishon or Iru is Kli Sheni. So, Rashbam, the two brothers, Rabbi Tam says it's like Kli Rishon. Rashbam, his older brother by 20 years, says no. Iru is Kli Sheni. So I don't know what they did in Rashi, right? When they went to visit their grandfather. I don't know. Rabbi Tam was only 5 years old when Rashi died. So I don't know if he was drinking tea yet. But the Machlokas, Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. But later on in the Tosfos, the middle sheet is quoted, and that's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that Ella Vadai Lo Mavashel Ella Kidei Klipa. Iri cooks the outer layer. The outer layer. So if you only have one layer of cooked food, so it cooks the outer layer, that's a problem. But let's say, right, the example given, let's say you want to warm up a hot water bottle for a baby, and it's cold. You're allowed to pour boiling hot water on the bottle. Why? Because what's the outer surface? The bottle. So the bottle is going to get cooked. The bottle's not cooking. And the milk's inside. Therefore, there's no problem there. Because Iru is only Mavashik, they klipa the outer layer, and the inner layer is mutter. Vim Iru roschim alatana gola, shricha klipa. Or if you pour hot water on a chicken, you gotta take off the outer layer, because that is what we pass. For klisha tashmisha de Iru, if you have a kli that you use by Iru, if you use something and something got trafed up through Irui, so you could kasher it through Irui, right? That's the equal amount. Okay, so this is the issue of Irui. One should be aware. Vaiter, we continue. Assuming that Irui is like a klisheni, ask the Gemara, ma'laros im hakiluach, switching the girsa. If it's like a klisheni, what about putting the spices into the flow as you pour it? Not on the bottom where it's going to hit. So Rabbi Yossi says that's a klisheni. If you have something in a klisheni and it hits it, so that's a klisheni. But what if you pour it into the flow? So Amar Rabbi Chanani, Abrei Rav Hillel, Machlokas, Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Yossi, would be the same thing. Meaning it's, if the Iri is a klisheni, then it's a klisheni even in the air. And if not. Rabbi Yisrael Bar Gufta, Bo Kumi Rabbi Mana. So I have a question. He asked Rabbi Mana, the son of Rabbi Yossi, Asa kein b'shabes chay mishim avashel. Is Iri really a din daraisa? When Iri, if you did it on Shabbos, would that be chayiv achatas? Would that be an issa daraisa? Asa kein b'basa b'chalav chay mishim avashel. If you did it by basa b'chalav, would that be a daraisa of cooking basa b'chalav? So the Gemara says, no. It won't be a daraisa. It will be a darabanan, Iri. Amar lei kai demar Reb Zira, like Reb Zira says elsewhere, ve'ezi chalav barer, we had this earlier in Hilchas Chala. Right, we spoke about what is full-fledged scalding. If something is scalded before it's baked, then it might not have the status of challah afterwards, without getting back into that context. Kol shehor mahalik tachtav. If it's scalded while it's on the fire, that's super-duper scalding, and that's full scalding. So same thing here. V'ko ezi utav shel bara kasha or mahalak taktav. The only time it's going to be full-fledged cooking to araisa is going to be if it's on a fire, right? And therefore, irui is not going to be daraisa. That's what the maskana of this gemara is. Irui is derabanan. Bishul basar b'chalav, interestingly, the Kesef Mishnah has a fundamental comment about cooking basar b'chalav. We know basar b'chalav has three isurim, right? You're not allowed to eat basar b'chalav. You're not allowed to get benefit from basar b'chalav. And I'm not allowed to cook basar b'chalav. The Kesef Mishnah in the beginning of Tumas Meis suggests that the isur of cooking basar b'chalav is so that you don't come to eat basar b'chalav. It's what we would call a siyag d'araisa. A siyag d'araisa. Usually you have a siyag d'rabanan. Don't do A because you might come to B, which is d'araisa. The Kesef Mishnah, at least in one day, has a suggestion to mashma shalo asra Torah levashel ela kidei shalo yavo lechol. Wow. This is one of Rabbi Yosef Engel's examples of a siyag d'araisa. The Torah says A is asur because you might come to B. The Torah says you're not allowed to have chametz in your house on Pesach. Mi d'araisa because you might come to eat the chametz, which is an isur karis. So that's why, siyag d'araisa. There might be a isurim of yichud and negia. The Rambam says, negia derechiba. Negia derechiba, giving a hug or a kiss to a, erva, derechiba, is an isur d'araisa. So, lo sikrivu legalos erva. There, the Torah itself says it explicitly. Lo sikrivu legalos erva. And there are many other examples as well. And sometimes it comes in the form of a mitzvah saseh. The Kleyakar says that the mitzvah of covering blood, the mitzvah of kisi adam, is so that you don't come to eat blood. So again, that's the examples of siyag d'araisa. That's bishul basar b'chalav. Okay. I remember a couple weeks ago we mentioned the nekudah nifla of the Rambam, that the iser achila and the iser hana, basar b'chalav, is really one from one shem iser. That was his amazing chiddush that he said in the Pirush Mishnayos in Maseches Krisos. Good, we continue. Two dots. Rabbi Yehuda omer l'kalun osein chus midavar sheish bo chometz v'tzir. Rabbi Yehuda says you can put anything into a kli rishon, as long as it's off the fire, except for something with vinegar and fish brine. Al daita Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, melach ketzir, salt would have the same status as fish brine, yain kechometz, and wine would have the same status as vinegar. So it's a little expanded. Fine. Next Mishnah. Now we move on to Muksa. Most of Muksa is going to come up later on, I think in the 17th parak, Kalakalim. But we have some Muksa here in the second half of Parakira. What is this doing here? Right in the fourth parak, we're going to get back to Bishul, right? Bamet Tomnin. What are you allowed to insulate in? So why are we talking about this here? So the Tiferes Yisrael says, well, the end of Bava Malikin, we were talking all about candles. But once it was talking about Erev Shabbos, so we were speaking about all the Bishul of Erev Shabbos. We didn't talk about Bishul Daraisa here so much. I mean, we did, but relating to Shiyan Achzara, that's where it started. So we talk about other halachas relating to candles, which is about Muksa. And that's why this is here, because we're relating to the end of the second parak. On Shabbos, you have a kli that's dripping oil. You're not allowed to put a bowl to catch the oil. You can't put a bowl there to catch the oil. Why? Because the bowl would then become muksa. And therefore what? The Bavli has 2 days, really what the problem is. I should go back for a second. The Bavli has 2 days why you're not allowed to put the kli there. So one is that maybe this is like Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak holds ein kli nital el l'sorach davar hanital. Rabbi Yitzchak says you're not allowed to move anything on Shabbos for a dvar muksa. Let's say I want to protect. There's a dvar muksa. I don't know. There's a my wallet. I don't want anybody to take my wallet. So I'm going to take a bowl and cover the wallet so nobody sees it. I'm not allowed to do that according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Ein kli nital el l'sorach davar hanital. So here too, the oil is muksa. I'm going to put a bowl under it to catch it. So the moving the bowl is a problem. That's one day we don't pass like Rabbi Yitzchak. But the second day is that, no, by putting the bowl there, you are making the bowl muksa. You are being mevatel kli mehechano. You are ruining usage of this kli. And therefore, what's the problem with making something muksa on Shabbos? So that's 2 days in Rashi. Two different places in Masechet Shabbos. One place Rashi says, bone, you are building. You are as if cementing that thing to the ground. Right? Because it's not usable. And the other day of Rashi says, no, it's soser, it's destroying. You're ruining its usage. Right, Tosfos on Shabbos Mem Gimel Amud Aleph quotes both of those Rashi's. Right, why Rashi later on Mechzi Kesoser and here Mechaber Batit. It's like Bonem. The Pnei Yoshua discusses there on Shabbos Mem Gimel why you would need both days of Rashi. He says based on context, it's Two different halachas. So again, the Mishnah says you can't put a kli under a candle to catch the oil because it's going to basically make it muksa. But if you put the bowl there before Shabbos, then fine. Mutter, you're allowed to do that before Shabbos. But any oil that drips into the bowl on Shabbos is going to be also to get benefit from. It's muksa. It wasn't prepared. It was not designated for usage at the beginning of Shabbos, right? The key moment for muksa is when Shabbos starts. If something is muksa when Shabbos starts, it's muksa for the whole Shabbos. If it's muchan, then it's muchan. Unless something changes on Shabbos to make it unmuchan. But that's what it says here, it's muksa. What type of muksa is this? There are 10 types of muksas. What type of muksa is this? So the Karban Eda says it's huksa li'isuro. Because the oil was going to be used for the burning. So it's muksa machbas iser. You can't touch it, because if you take some of it, then the fire won't last as long. And it's muksa to use for a fire. The Pnei Moshe says it's huksa l'mitzvaso. It's Shabbos candles. I mean, that's what it's talking about. But either way, it's muksa. So that's why you can't use it. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Chagai boy. Kaba mibod yom enisvado l'mishach ha-shecha. A fundamental question about muksa. What happens if it went out? It went out before Shabbos, and therefore all the oil in the bottom of the bowl was muchan before Shabbos. It wasn't connected to the candle anymore, but you didn't know about it. You didn't know about it till on Shabbos. Is muksa about the cheftza, whether it inherently is muchan, or is it about the gavra, whether you know about it or not? Here, you didn't know about it. So if you focus on the gavra, it's muksa. If you focus on the cheftza, it's not muksa. So which is it? Chavrayabo, another question. Chavrayabo, the Karban Eda explains. If you say in the first case, it's mutter. Why? Because it was never muksa. It stopped before, even though you didn't know about it, but it was never muksa. It was muchan before Shabbos started. What about this case? Kaba b'Shabbos zu, v'nisvadilo b'Shabbos haba. What happens if the candle went out on the Shabbos, but you thought you put an 8-day candle? You thought it was going through, and you didn't find out until the next Shabbos. But really, not on the first Shabbos. So maybe there, because it was already muksa on the first Shabbos, maybe that shame continues. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan answers both questions. Everything that inherently, Rabbi Yochanan says, it goes by the chafsa. Anything that's inherently muchan and able to get used from is mutter, except for one thing, which I'm not going to tell you about right now. There's one exception to the rule, which he doesn't tell us, but this is not one, the exception. So Rabbi Yochanan basically answers both questions. If it's inherently muchan, if it's roi to use on Shabbos, then it's roi, even if you didn't know about it when Shabbos started. So now the Gemara is going to ask five questions and basically give the same answer to all five questions. What about this? Hey, Siv Rebbe Lazar. Hari Shemen Shebener. Hari Hu Be'enu Hu Be'enu Be'echano. What if you have oil that's in a thing for a candle? In a lamp, and then it goes out on Shabbos. So when Shabbos started, that oil was usable for you. You could have used it to drink. It was unattainable because the candle was lit, but it was usable. And yet, let's say there's some left over on Shabbos, it's muksa. So isn't that against Rabbi Yochanan's yesod, right? It was inherently muchan. The Gemara says, no. You actively put it in there and designated it to be for the candle, meaning, if you actively moksa something designated for a non-Shabbos use, then Rabbi Yochanan would agree to that. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about where you didn't do anything. It just happens to be usable, so then even if you didn't know about it, it's going to be usable. But where you actively designated lahaksa, that's a problem. Hesav Reish Lakish, similarly, harichitin bezriya, what if I plant wheat seeds? I put wheat kernels in the ground on Shabbos, and then somehow maybe there's a big rainstorm, and the kernels get uncovered, and therefore they're lying there. Could I eat them? They were roi when on Shabbos. They were roi on Shabbos. So be inon hain there by en veino bayichano, and they're still called muksa. And the answer is no, because what did you designated them as huksa lakach nusada bishar rishona shiachlu bekarka? You designated them to grow and to be a plant. So that's not stam. Haitevon, Hari Beitzim Lefrochim. It's all the same kind of question. What about eggs? You put eggs under a hen in order to develop into chicks. Right now, and the carbonator says, in the first couple of days, it's still edible before it starts disintegrating. Hari Be'ainon Hei Ve'ena Bechanan. Again, they're ra'ui inherently, and yet they're considered muksa. Lakach nasanan, Mishar Rishona, Sheyasu Afrochim. No, but you actively made them muksa. And if you actively make something muksa, then we're not talking about that. That's not what Rabbi Yochanan is about. Hasav Rabbi Yirmiya. Fourth, Harei Iturei Sukkah. What about Sukkah decorations? What if you hang up actual fruit for Sukkah decorations? Harei Be'enon Hein. They are ra'ui. They are edible. Ve'ena Be'chanan, but they're still called muksa. Right? So, which muksa? So, Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Chafes, has 2 days. and he explains why you need two day, both days, whether it's huksa l'mitzvaso or bizui. Bizui is bizayin to use something that's supposed to be for a mitzvah. So either it's huksa or bizayin. Tosfos there describes, maybe you chalamoed, might be a nafkamina between the two reasons. But either way, you know, this case that it's, again, inherently roy. So again, the Gemara says, Shani hi, damar of Mari, achuid Reb Yosa, kol shiva hein betilim agav sukkah. No, the sukkah decorations are batal to the sukkah all for the whole week. So, and therefore, it's as if, the Pnei Moshe's Lashon, it's as if they're not ba'en. It's as if they're not there. They're enveloped in the definition of the sukkah. And therefore, they're not ba'en. And mikan ve'elah ve'echanoin. And after sukkahs, they are roy. So therefore, it's not a violation of Rabbi Yochanan's principle. Hazav Rabbi Chinana, Hari Mochin, Shenis Pazru, what about fluff? Some type of material that you use. Remember we had, you wrap a pot in this fluff, whether it's cotton, whether it's feathers. Shenis Pazru, Hari Be'enon, Hein Ve'enon, Be'echanon. They're muksa. They're muksa, even though they're roy. You could use them. You could use them to wrap something in. You could use them in a pillow. So the Gemara says, no. Hacha Be'kelim. That's talking about items. Items? That's not what Rabbi Yochanan is talking about. Items could be muksa. Uma da'at amar tamon ba'ochlan. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about food. Rabbi Yochanan says any food that is ro'i is not called muksa, except for one exception. So that's not, so don't ask me about the mochin. Hezer Rabbi Nasa, hari muksa she yavesh velo nagabo. What about, this is a classic case of muksa, you put grapes and figs on the roof to dry out, to become raisins and dried figs. So the first few days, in the middle, while it's drying out, it becomes disgusting. And then it gets totally dried out and it's ready to eat. So there too, right? It's food, v'lo nagabo, hariyu beino v'hinu bechano. Isn't that roy? Let's say it was roy when Shabbos started. You didn't know about it. So that's muksa. Hacha bekelim. No. There too, because it becomes inedible while in the drying process, it's as if it's a kli. It's not called food. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan is not talking about that. Umad de itmar taman ba'ochlan. Rabbi Yochanan's yisod is only about food. And therefore, this is again not a violation of that principle. So Rabbi Yochanan basically says, by food, it goes by the chefsa, not by the gavra. It could be by kalim. There might be differences, but we'll have to see as we go through all these sugyas of muksa. Okay, we have a couple of blot left. We're in the middle of Perek Kira.